Blog Talk Radio.
The consummate fitness professional and how to gain credibility. It's important to establish yourself as a fitness professional, not just as any schmo or any person off the street. You want to be credible. You want to be reliable. You want to be qualified. It's not enough that you can just dispense advice. It's got to be sound advice and often scientific advice, because you want to make sure that your clientele is safe and your workouts are effective. In the professional, as a personal trainer, there are no regulations on you. It'll vary from one location to the next, or one business to the next, as what they require you to have. But for the most part, anybody could be a personal trainer. And that's kind of scary to say. That's why it is so important that you get educated. There are three different ways that you can become a personal trainer. You can take the longer route, and a very respectable one, I must add, in getting a college degree. I've met many people that have gotten college degrees and have had successful careers as personal trainers. I myself took the second route. I looked for a certification. There are many certifying bodies out there, and I'll discuss those a little later. But when you get yourself certified as a personal trainer, this is saying to the world that, yes, I know what I'm doing, and these people can attest to it. And then there's the third route, getting absolutely nothing at all and just applying yourself as a personal trainer. All three of these routes can be used by you. Of course, the route of nothing means that you won't have a college degree or a certification. And there have been many successful personal trainers out there, and I imagine there still are many successful personal trainers out there doing it that way. I wouldn't recommend it, and I'll discuss why a little later. It has a little bit to do with liability, and once again, a huge amount to do with credibility. So I've established that there's no regulations. That means there's no laws in place. For instance, if you were a doctor, you'd have to have a college degree. You'd have to have a doctorate of some sort in order to practice medicine. That's not the case with personal training. You don't need to have a license, a degree, or a certification to be a personal trainer. I really believe that if you want to take your career seriously as a fitness professional, that you would either choose to get a college degree or a good certification. Once you get that college degree or certification, here's a few words that you're going to have to remember when you are becoming a fitness professional and you're practicing on a regular basis. There is something called scope of practice. The dictionary defines this as the range of responsibility and guidelines that determine the boundaries within which a professional practices. Pretty interesting. So even though I've said there's no regulations, why is the scope of practice important? Well, let me share a little bit of a personal insight. There was a young trainer at a gym I used to work at, and he got himself a certification. Boy, he was very proud of himself, and he got clientele as well. But the real issue was he couldn't retain any clientele. The problem was he really didn't know what he was doing programming for his clientele. He would watch an exercise video, or he would mimic another trainer. He would see them do something sexy, And when I say sexy, it doesn't mean that it's something that gets you aroused. I mean sexy movements as in it's an exercise that seems risque. It seems real intricate. It makes everybody go, ooh, almost like it's a circus act of some sort. He would see something that was sexy, and he would say, ah, I'm going to put it in my workout. Yet, he didn't know what it did. Sure, he could kind of guess to what it would do. But here's the problem. Taking things he was seeing and establishing himself as a credible expert in that exercise. And that's not good, not only for his career, but also it's not good for his client. Because what may be appropriate for one client of another personal trainer who is an expert at that specific movement may not be appropriate for another client of another trainer who is not an expert in that. Scope of practice means get yourself educated. And as you practice as a fitness professional, you want to do things that you are familiar with. That if you are woken up out of a dense sleep, you can be able to explain the ins, outs, ups and downs, who it's appropriate for, and who it's inappropriate for. That's why scope of practice is important, because it protects you, and most importantly, it protects your client. This is an industry that can be dangerous if you are not careful, if you don't choose the proper steps. Thankfully, the gentleman that I'm mentioning to you never saw any injuries, but he saw a lot of clients come and go because he didn't seem to have a good handle on his scope of practice. So if you know how to do squats, push-ups, pull-ups, and crunches, and you know that's all you have in your skill set, then by gosh, you should be doing that all the time and run it into the ground and make it to where it is yours. You are the expert at it. Now, I'm not saying that you need to become an expert at those particular movements. In the previous episode was, what interests you in personal training? Who is the audience that you're going to be catering to? This is the reason why. Because now that you know how you want to do it, you need to find out where you're going to get educated. I'm going to give a few suggestions. College is one, and I'll be honest with you that I'm the furthest person to be able to suggest to you one degree over the other. Go consult a counselor at a college, and they'll be able to give you better direction. I can, however, give you a few reliable certification bodies that work with personal trainers, excellent at continuing education, because it's not only important that you get your certification or your degree, but it's also important to continue to learn, because otherwise you'll be stuck with doing just squats, pull-ups, push-ups, and crunches. Sure, that's fun, but I'll tell you what, if you plan on doing that till the day that you retire, you're going to get bored real quick. And on top of that, there's so much that's coming towards the forefront of health and fitness that now is a fantastic time to be involved in the industry, because you get to find out some of the latest and greatest ideas that are coming for improving your personal training business and also improving the results that you're getting for your clientele. Three that I'm going to mention, I'm going to take them one at a time. This particular one I actually have used. And first, I just need to say this, that I'm not affiliated with any of these particular organizations. But I do have a certification through the American Council on Exercise, otherwise known as ACE. You can access the American Council on Exercise at ORG, that's A-C-E, FITNESS.org. And the American Council on Exercise is a wonderful certifying body. They've got excellent free information on their website. I mean, anybody can get on there. And they also have big, big benefits for you as a trainer that they'll offer pretty good discounts on continuing education so you keep your certification up to snuff and up to today's standards. My personal experience as an ACE Fitness certified personal trainer was when I traveled to Calgary in 2006, they actually accepted an American certification in Canada. Blew me away. I went to a gym. I told them the certification I had. And I was waiting for them to say, "I'm sorry, we don't accept that." They smiled and they said, "Oh, that's a great certification." That really took a load off my shoulders knowing that I partnered myself with a great organization. So pick a good organization that really aligns with your beliefs. ACE is one of them for me. What I wanted as a trainer was just the fundamentals, delivered just that in their personal training certification program. Now, the next one. I've known other trainers that have had certifications through this body, and they are actually called NASM, short for the National Academy of Sport Medicine. Now, I have read some of their material, and I'm going to tell you, it is fantastic. It will singe your eyebrows. I'll tell you, it'll blow you away. NASM has a fantastic certification program for personal trainers and lots of continuing education, and they are recognized all over the place. And then lastly, not to say that there isn't other ones, but these three I'm just mentioning off the top of my head. There is also ISSA, which represents International Sports Science Association. Now, ISSA is another very reputable organization to get your certification through. They also have something that's called a CSCS. This is becoming big, especially with the explosion in the popularity of CrossFit. People are really starting to look into the CSCS, which represents Certified Strength and Conditioning Specialist. Much like the other two certifications I mentioned before, they too have continuing education, great resources, and lots of credibility in the health and fitness industry. Access them at issaonline.edu. Now, a lot of people are going to probably say, how much does it cost? That's once again where I got to say that I don't have an affiliation with these three organizations, but generally ballparking, some of the price range is going to go from anywhere from about $300 to as much as $600 or $800 for your certification. Ultimately, it will pay for itself as long as you apply yourself and you continue to learn and get the clientele and get yourself some ratings. Discuss a little bit about that in the next episode. If these three things don't appeal to you, it's up to you to do your own due diligence. Research just a bit more. If you see a particular trainer that you're a fan of, find out, what is his certification? If nothing at all, I have to discourage you. Look for a way to get yourself credentialed. The time that you research to find the appropriate organization for you will be well worth it, and you'll be up to snuff as far as being credible, being qualified, and also being the trainer that a client can really know that you're the expert they're looking for. Now, the next thing you're going to need, it's going to be liability insurance. I've seen quite a few trainers out there going without liability insurance, and I'm going to tell you this, that is insane. That's crazy. If you're a part of a chain gym, you could probably breathe a sigh of relief. Places like LA Fitness, Lifetime Fitness, so on and so forth, they all have their own personal trainer insurance. If you're working for a small gym, you may want to ask the manager or the owner if they have personal training insurance for you. Here is why. During the course of a workout, let's say your client accidentally missteps and rolls their ankle, and they decide they're going to go ahead and sue you or the gym. This can be a real huge issue because they can probably try to go after you for 6 to 7 figures. And I don't know about you, but I don't have 6 to 7 figures in my wallet. That's why liability insurance is so important. In order to get most liability insurance plans out there as a certified personal trainer, usually your certifying body will suggest to you specific insurance companies and plans that a lot of their successful people have used before, usually. I know that with my experience in American Council and Exercise, they actually offered a couple of different ones. And it ran me for a basic plan that ran for about a year. It was about $170. But it covered up to $1 to $2 million in litigation. I'm not going to go too far into liability insurance, but insurance is very important. Is it a must or need to have? Absolutely not. Can you practice with the liability insurance? Absolutely. Should you? I would discourage that. If you want to be the best in your industry, and if you want to be the consummate fitness professional, having the certification and the liability insurance, something I believe just goes hand in hand. So, now for what do you need? And tools. A few tools can actually be available if you're involved working at a chain gym. Whenever I say chain gym or franchise gym, it's referring to some place like an LA Fitness or a 24-hour fitness. Most tools are going to be available to you, things like a scale or a body fat monitor or things like a tape measure. But if you're running a business on your own, I highly recommend that you have these tools in hand. This is going to be interchangeable as far as how you are most successful in keeping track of your files. You're going to have numerous clients. I hope that you plan on having numerous clients at any event. I always had an accordion file. You can pick up one at Staples, or even the cheap one at the Dollar Tree. This accordion file, I would have different tabs at the top of each section, and I would slip in an individual folder of a client. I'd have their information on there. I would have all their waivers. I'd have their goals written down. I'd even have their workouts put in there, and I'd paperclip those things together, put it in the folder, and slip it into the accordion file. This dates me a little bit, but I'm going to say that when I started out in 2006 to 2007, this was the way I did business. Now, these days, we've got technology at our hand. So we're able to keep a lot of those documents maybe on an iPad or a tablet of some sort. Either way, try to keep everything organized and ready and available. That way, when a client shows up, you have everything ready to go, and there's no stuttering or stammering. Rest assured, when you have a very busy 40-hour week, you're going to have a lot of clients coming and going. It's going to be hard to remember everybody's individual goals or their specific conditions related to them and the precautions you're going to need to take for each one of them. So, find out your organization system, whether it be an accordion file or some kind of technology to track each one of your workouts and your clients. The next tool you're going to need is a tape measure. Now, this won't be appropriate for everybody. There are some ladies that do not like being measured for the tape measure. A few guys really do like being measured, but I'd say steer clear of their legs. Either way, all joking aside, tape measure is going to be needed. Of course, a scale. The scale is going to be the most used tool. You'll probably get more information on how to measure with these two specific things through your certification body. But as just a general tip, when it comes to using a tape measure or a scale, make sure you do it at the same time of day, in the same spot, in the same way, every time, so you can stay as accurate as possible. But not least would be a good body fat impedance device. This is not a requirement because it's not 100% accurate. But technology is starting to progress these days, and I wouldn't be surprised that before long, we will have something that's going to be close to accurate. The closest in accuracy is a BOD pod, spelled BODPOD. But unfortunately, that requires tons and tons of equipment and some time that you can be able to submerge your client in water up to their neck and have them weigh it out as you figure out how much they actually have in body fat. Seems kind of ridiculous, right? The old way of doing things was using a skinfold caliper. The skinfold caliper was a way that you could be able to pinch certain areas of a person's body, measure that out, and then you'd be able to figure out their body fat percentage. But there was so much room for error that I've seen the body fold skin calipers kind of disappear. Less and less trainers are using these days. It's up to you, and it depends largely on your certification body if this is going to be appropriate for what you're going to be doing. Now that you have your tools, make sure they're all in place. Make sure it's appropriate for your clientele. If you don't have these tools, or if you're not sure if the gym that you're working for has these tools, be sure that you have all that in place ahead of time and before every session. When I worked at a chain gym, I can't tell you how many times I was horrified to discover that the tape measure was disappeared, or the scale was broken, or the batteries in the body fat impedance device had went dead. Having everything prepared ahead of time is key and very crucial to your sessions with your clients. You want to appear like you got it, not like you're completely frazzled and surprised by the session coming together, even though they probably purchased all the sessions months in advance. So as a review, credibility as a fitness professional is just paramount. You want to get yourself a good college degree. That'll take a little longer. Or a certification from a good accrediting body, such as ACE, NASM, or ISSA, or any number of other ones. Going without a degree or certification is just not a good idea. If you're going to be the consummate fitness professional, You need to make sure that you have the credentials to back up, and that you are who you say that you are. Sure, there's no regulations for you in personal training, and there's not going to be any person coming and arresting you if you're practicing personal training without a certification or degree. But I must say that if you're going to be a personal trainer, remember that you're representing an industry that are people are proud to be a part of, something I've been proud to be a part of for 9 years now, something that has really paid me back. So I hope that you spend the same time that I did and give the same respect I did to the business that has given back to me. And hopefully you'll see a return tenfold from what I have. Getting the credentials is essential if you want to be the best at what you do. Stay within your scope of practice. This means stick to what you know and what you're certified through. Just because you've seen it on TV or on a DVD or another trainer doing it doesn't mean you should do it. If it interests you enough, I highly recommend that you look into some continuing education that will show you who, what, where, when, and why that particular movement is done. Then you can start to implement it in all of your sessions with all the appropriate clientele. Just because it's a sexy exercise doesn't mean it's for everybody. And also, even if it's a sexy exercise, doesn't mean someone's going to want to do it. Stick with me in the next episode. We're going to talk a little bit about building your audience. We're going to discuss what's going to be a good business model, who is your audience, determining your work environment, what type of training, building your clientele, establishing a web presence, gaining additional credibility within your field, and so on. I appreciate you tuning in. Let's talk soon.